Hello and welcome to another Economic Week in Review. It's read to you by your host, Jonathan Andrew Walter, at jawspeak.com, formerly econtechblog.com. Side note, I'm going to be out of town in San Francisco next week camping at Yahoo for yahoohackday.org. You can read all about it. So I may not be able to produce the podcast. Don't worry, I'll be back. Do not be alarmed. The highlight of this week's economic news was the Federal Reserve Board's decision to hold its target for short-term interest rates at steadily 5.25%. The Producer Price Index, the PPI, a closely watched release, increased only slightly, suggesting that there will be less inflationary pressure on the prices of finished goods in the short term. In other reports, leading economic indicators declined, and new residential construction waned as the housing market continued to show signs of cooling off. For the week, the S&P 500 index fell 0.3% to 1,315. The yield of the 10-year U.S. Treasury note fell 21 basis points to 4.59%. The Fed's Open Market Committee, FOMC, left the target federal funds rate unchanged for the second consecutive meeting. They cited slower growth in the economy, stating that, quote, inflation pressures seemed likely to moderate over time, yet they maintained a bias towards further tightening if needed due to concerns that, quote, some inflation risks remain. The PPI came out. This is a measure of the average change over time of the selling prices of a fixed basket of goods by stage of production, industry, and commodity. It's considered to be a leading economic indicator for consumer inflation. The core PPI is a number which excludes more volatile terms such as food and energy, which roughly account for one quarter of the broad-based PPI, and they do tend to fluctuate widely. For finished goods, the PPI, which tracks inflation at the wholesale level, rose a modest 0.1% in August. This was the second consecutive month that price pressures eased for finished goods, primarily due to slower growth in prices of energy products. Excluding the food and energy categories, producer prices fell 0.4%, a nice number, following a 0.3% decline in July. Although comparing with a year ago, the overall PPI was up 3.7%, and that was the slowest growth rate since March. Prices of core intermediate goods, considered a leading indicator of consumer inflation, rose 0.4%, which was also the slowest growth rate since March. Another report came out, the Index of Leading Economic Indicators. This is a composite index of 10 economic indicators that typically lead overall economic activity. The index includes indicators such as housing permits, new orders for consumer goods, consumer expectations, as well as the S&P 500's recent performance. The results of the leading economic indicators showed a decrease of 0.2% in August. This is the fifth decline in the past 7 months. Seven of the index's 10 components declined in the month, consumer expectations and building permits being the largest detractors. The positive contributors were stock prices, real money supply, and manufacturers' new orders for consumer goods and materials. The numbers for August of new residential construction showed a much greater than expected 6% decline to 1.67 million units annualized. This is the third consecutive monthly decline. Comparing year-ago levels, the housing starts were down 19.8%. Starts decreased in all regions except the Northeast, and new construction of single-family homes decreased 5.9%, although the decrease in multifamily homes was down 8.2%. The actual value was 1.67 in August. The expected was 1.75 million new residential construction starts. Thursday marked the Philadelphia Fed's announcement that the survey of manufacturing conditions in that region was minus 0.4 for September. The previous month, August, was plus 18.4. Readings below zero indicate that there may be a contraction. This was the first indication that the manufacturing sector may be in a decline, although it is just a survey, not based on actual hard data, and is only one slight decline in a month for the one region of the country, although it did play a role in the market's fears that the economic slowdown is becoming more severe. Recently read in a Briefing.com weekly wrap-up, one of the sources I used to compile this economic report, that the stock market is reflecting concerns, this is a quote, that the current economic slowdown will be more severe than the Fed's soft landing scenario prescribes. There isn't a whole lot to substantiate these fears yet, other than the clear weaknesses in the housing market. Declines in oil and other commodity prices, as well as lower bond yields, reflect the same concern, but also at least provide some support to the stock market. Looking ahead to the next economic week, next week will be busy for economic news. Reports slated for release include existing home sales, Monday, consumer confidence, Tuesday, new home sales and orders for durable goods on Wednesday, second quarter gross domestic product on Thursday, and lastly, Friday finishes off with personal income. Thank you for listening. I look forward eagerly to your feedback, comments, suggestions, as well as emails. Send them to jaw@jawspeak.com or leave a site comment directly at jawspeak.com. Thank you. Have a productive week. Remember, I may not be on next week. I'll be in San Francisco. Send me a comment or anything you want me to see out there if you are a native or a fan of that beautiful city.